Hello, I'm broadcaster Kieran Paul, and I'm here at Medway Food Bank as part of the Carer Poverty Project in partnership with Carers First and working together with Trussell to raise awareness about the financial impacts on households of being an unpaid carer. So an unpaid carer is someone who is not employed to care for another person who requires their support. Now I'm here joined by Lana, who cares for her best friend. First of all, lovely to have you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, Mo.
Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself? So I said you care for your best friend. Can you tell us more about you?
Okay, so I'm an old lady of 53, lived in Medway all my life, and have all my family, parents and sisters in Medway. And Bob is very much a part of what I call my family, albeit not a traditional family member. And and I'm passionate about Medway and supporting other people.
And how long have you been doing this caring role, and how did it start at the beginning?
I met Bob about 15 years ago in a nightclub, and realised that he was...
Which nightclub?
Oh, it's closed now. It was called Crystals in Chatham. And Bob's a real cheeky chap. He's got a great... humour and a smile. Quite quickly I realised he was deaf. I knew a little bit of sign language. He was born very early, bless him, size of a biro apparently at the time. So Bob also has cerebral palsy, hydrocephalus, which is water on the brain. He has an awful lot of arthritis, but his cerebral palsy affects his mobility, his lower limbs, and he has some dexterity issues. He also has a learning disability.
And what does a typical day look like as a carer? Because I'm asking that from someone who actually has absolutely no idea what a typical day looks like. So I'd love to know.
Okay. Well, I guess first and foremost, there is never a typical day.
There we go.
There's that one. So today I'm going to be actually caring for my dad for a little bit this afternoon. So after I've done that, I'm going to go and see Bob. And we have a hospital passport that a team have sent to us. So we need to read through that. But that's in another language. So Bob is a British Sign Language user, which is a completely different language. There's no syntax, no grammar. So it's a case of signing that and making sure that Bob understands everything that we're going to go through. So that typical day could be an appointment, paperwork, could be shopping, could just be some social activities. It could be, so he's got disability football this evening, we've got that next Sunday.
What does that involve?
Oh, it's fantastic. It just makes me so happy to see Bob. He thinks he's Ronaldo. I'll just get that out there.
Which one? Brazilian, well, Brazilian or Portuguese?
Brazilian.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so I think I've got that right. He goes to that. He gets to engage with lots of other people, albeit there's not many deaf people. There's certainly not in his team, but he loves it, and that's been going on for years. He's been in various different teams, but excellent. Yeah, it makes him really happy.
And he plays up front, you know. Does he play a striker?
He's in the middle.
Ah, that's where all the hard work happens.
Yeah, he's like a little frog. He jumps about everywhere. It's hilarious, and I love it.
Well, Ronaldo's always described as a little frog.
Oh,
so yeah,
there we go.
So yeah, so they're probably very similar players.
Very.
Now, as I said, I'm coming from this from an angle of not knowing too much about what's involved in caring, and that's why we're doing this, because I'm sure there's lots of other people like me that don't. What's something about being a carer that people just don't realise?
There's so many things. I guess you can be quite invisible as a carer. That's one part. And I think the hardship that you suffer, whether that's on your physical health, your emotional health, your mental health, your financial side of things, huge impact, your social life, your connectivity with the outside world. You know, I can only speak for myself, but I know other carers in different positions that might be very limited to being able to get out of the home. So it's varied. Yeah.
And we're going to move on to the sort of financial impact in a minute. But what's something that you absolutely adore and you absolutely love about him?
About Bob, his zest for life. He is I think I must say it all the time, if we could bottle a bit of Bob, it would be an antidepressant. He's just fearless, he's funny, he's just, you know, such good fun. And we have our good and bad days and sure. have done, you know, depending on what things are going on for Bob and myself as well, because you are definitely impacted by, you know, if you're stressed about money or, you know, your health or different things. But Bob is just... He will have a go at anything. I don't think there's ever been a time when I've said, you know, we're going to a festival or we're going to do this, we're going to, and he will just come along with me. He'll try and have a go at mowing the lawn. We did wallpapering together, which was hilarious.
What wallpaper was it?
It was Bob's just painted his bedroom gold, metallic gold.
Nice.
And that was horrendous. Kieran, it was a nightmare. Took me a lot of trying to cover up all the splodges on the ceiling, on the... He painted the woodwork as well, but I love that he had a go.
So was it wallpapering and painting?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If it was gold leaf, that room would be...
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
That's worth a lot.
Yeah, it was, very Midas.
Do you know why he chose gold?
Because he loves bright colours and he's different.
Yeah.
He's had so many hairstyles. He's had Mohicans, rainbow-coloured Mohicans, rainbow dreadlocks, mohawks... he's got a mullet at the moment. He's just the coolest guy. And people gravitate towards him when we're out. We really have met an awful lot of people because he's so vibrant.
Mm. So let's talk about, we talked briefly about social life. How does it affect your work life, your career plans? As we said, you're not officially an employed carer. So how does it affect your career plans?
Things get put on hold. I guess, you know, over a span of 15 years I've been studying. I was in receipt of carer's allowance once, you know, about 14 years ago. So I've never been paid. And I know there's a lot of people will identify the same. If it's a loved one, you feel it's not a duty or a responsibility, but you see it as that, you know, if it's your child, your partner, you know, your parent... so it's not a duty for me. I do it out of love and care. But I don't know. It can be very difficult. There's such variety in that. And although it can be joyous, it can be very difficult and challenging other times as well.
And what are you studying, or were you studying? Are you studying currently?
I am studying currently. I'm a qualified social worker. So cool. I'm just doing a postgrad course part-time to do it's like teaching, mentoring social work students.
So you do a lot to help other people?
Yes, as much as I can. I'd do more if I could, but yeah. I don't have enough arms.
And have you ever had to make financial sacrifices then because of this role?
Yeah, absolutely. Things like holidays or you're going out, if you might like to, you know, certainly like theatre or going uptown, even getting a train, doing certain things or festivals. Bob loves music, absolutely loves it. And we've been to some fantastic places back in the day when finances were different. But you can't really stretch what you get. I don't get the carer's allowance, but what I do get whilst I'm caring and having had a period of poor health myself is just very basic. You're just about going to cover your bills if you're lucky. So it's my family that have helped me, food banks and a multitude of local services. So
what do you think the biggest unexpected cost you've ever had, you've ever faced doing this?
I think when you're so stretched financially that you're just covering bills, if anything unexpected comes up, whether that be a parking ticket, which I don't get, mum and dad, I will, you know, think things like a tyre, if a tyre, you know, goes, it's, you know, you're literally trying to find £20, £30 can be just a nightmare. It's just not possible. So if everything is going up around you and your income is static, you know, with gas goes up, electric goes up, water's going up, council tax, rent's going up. It literally is everything, not just one thing. It's petrol's going up, food, good Lord. When did coffee become like, the price of a haircut? It's ridiculous. So you learn to cut your cloth accordingly. There's luxuries. You reduce what brands you're buying. you just learn you can't do certain things. I guess one of the other things is that if you have credit or debt as such, which I do have, that affordability to pay anything towards them is gone. That then incurs admin fees, late fees, and then an awful lot of stress on top of, you know, what you're already perhaps, you know, struggling with, because you're trying to navigate the fact that you can't pay anybody. You really can't. So that's getting into a stressful situation on top. So that's been a big part, I think. So you can't see a way of when you're going to be able to make any difference to that, to pay those back. That's hard.
And more poignant, obviously, we're recording this at Medway Food Bank, right? And we're going to talk about sort of more food bank stuff in a bit. I like as well, you mentioned you're in your 50s earlier, but you still worry that your mum and dad might know that you get parking tickets.
Yeah.
I very much like that.
Yeah, I know.
I very much
grounded.
Like that. Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned as well, like, you had carers allowance once. Do you receive any financial support? And frankly, do you think it's enough?
I don't receive carers allowance. Because of the benefit I'm on, it pretty much cancels it out, so it makes no difference if I was on that for the time being. So I think it was, when I did claim it, a ridiculous amount of £62-63. I believe it's due to go up to about £80, which still, as you can imagine, on a household is not a lot of money.
83, is that?
£83 a week. Wow. I would imagine the hourly rate isn't even minimum wage. Mm. So, and in order to claim that benefit, you need to be caring for, I think it's 35 or hours a week.
Mm. Which is a full-time job, right?
Which is a full-time job, yeah. And it's 24 hours, you know, for many, you know, that might be getting up here throughout the night, early mornings, on calls, you know, waking nights, what have you, you know. It's not a paid role as such, is it? So, you know, it can be full on for a lot of the day and night.
And is there like one thing you wished people understood about the financial struggles that carers face?
The fact that they're not recognised, really. The fact that the unpaid carers are saving the taxpayer / government, you know, £184 billion.
£184 billion.
Yeah, that's a big sum, isn't it? So that is a kick in the teeth for those carers, really, who just are struggling on. And so it's that recognition, that raising awareness of, you know, all those people that are doing these roles unpaid.
Yeah. And you say a kick in the teeth. It is that, do you feel that every day?
I guess because it depends on the days, but yeah, truthfully, you know, you as a carer, you generally are putting somebody else's needs first, but underlying, almost like a swan, isn't it, you know, the underlying issues are, oh, I can't pay that bill, you know, damn, I need to get a tyre, or even just a service, an MOT, insurance has gone up, you know, you're not going to share that with the person you're caring for, because, you know, it's added stress and worry that they don't need either, so you carry that yourself, but that is a big worry. So that recognition is pretty poor. It's not like a minimum wage paid job, you know, you're doing, you know, things very differently for far longer hours. It's often not 30 something hours for many carers out there.
And how does that affect your health?
I think at the moment I've got some physical health. I've got through some daunting health issues myself, but I think your mental health is what suffers sometimes, you know, that reduced connectivity with others, that ability to get out, that, you know, unable to do social activities, whether that's because you can't get out because of your role, or you can't do anything because of the financial side of things. So being able to tap into places like Carers First, reaching out, support groups like this, being involved in projects, that's uplifting.
I was going to say, so doing something like this, what, a couple of hours out of your day, right, doing this, is this a big deal? Like, is this, have you had to plan me talking to you now, thinking, right, what's Bob going to be doing? Like, how, you know, and this is, I hope that you're enjoying this conversation, but it's not exactly a leisure activity, is it, for you? So this is, you know, it's almost work again. So, like, yeah, did you have to plan a lot just to do something like this for 2/3 hours?
A little bit, because I'm due to go and meet my dad and look after dad for a bit. But I know that Bob's not feeling particularly well today, so I've got some bits in the car, so I'm going to see him and have dinner with him later. But I know he'll be watching TV, and he's got his hearing dog for the deaf, who's his best friend. So I've already checked in with Bob this morning, and I know he's got, I think he's coming down with a cold, so he'll be laying on the sofa with a blanket.
So obviously we're in Medway Food Bank. At what point did you first consider using a food bank, and what led to that?
I think I first used Medway Food Bank when I was caring initially, so maybe about 12 years ago when I was studying. So I used a lovely church in Gillingham. So I've probably used it about 4 or 5 times, I think, over the years. But most recently, yeah, about, I think, 3 times now, yeah.
And the first time you used it, how did you feel when you were using it?
A mixture of things, actually. I mean, I felt embarrassed, sadly to say, a bit ashamed, and very emotional. I do remember feeling very humbled and being tearful, and a lovely volunteer made me a cup of tea and probably sees this all the time. And that was just a really humbling experience. And I had Bob with me, who was a bit perplexed as to why I was crying, but... it soon became a change around, and we, you know, those feelings passed. But you're so grateful, and it's, you know, people that are donating, whether that's, you know, people, you know, when they're going shopping, you know, these donations come in, thank God, you know, that they do. It's a lifesaver.
Were you saying you feel humbled? I feel humbled hearing you. I do. You know, you're talking about things that I couldn't do.
It is it's a strange thing, Kieran, when you go there, because I think I was saying to Joe at Carers First, there's no sign saying, you know, above the door, you know, food bank, so you know, to feel embarrassed. And I'm sure it does keep certain people away, thinking, you know, I can manage, I won't ask for help. But I would extol the virtues of reaching out for any support as a carer, because sometimes there's so many things you don't know. And the food bank actually isn't just a food bank. It's not just in churches. It's in lots of different venues around the towns, and I'm sure nationally. But they signpost as well. There might be other things within there. I had a lovely lady say a prayer with me as a Christian. That was wonderful and very uplifting. But, you know, these places have information that will signpost you maybe for some other support. Mm. So, yeah, humbling.
And I hope, you know, anyone listening that might be feeling the same way, like, you know, perhaps embarrassed or something, will hear that and think, you know what, there's an absolute, and there isn't anything to be embarrassed about, it, first and foremost anyway, but hearing that may help as well.
Yeah, because sometimes there's a chance it might change, and you might have you know, different circumstances, and you can pay it back, you know, whether that's doing something yourself. But, you know, for the time when you need it, I would say, you know, ask for help, reach out for help, because you don't know what's out there. But the food bank for sure is a really important support for, I'm sure, many people. And it's sad we have them, they exist, but, you know, they have done for some time now.
And financially, like, has that massively reduced the financial pressure on your shoulders?
Yeah, I mean, from a salary that is a far cry from what it is when you're a carer, just to go along and receive, you know, I think it's 3 days worth of food. But Bob and I were quite excited. We was like, ooh, porridge! There was chocolates in there. We was quite and
in the porridge.
Not in the porridge, but we might try that, Kieran. But there was some lovely biscuits that Bob was very happy about.
do you think there's enough, like, understanding of why an unpaid carer would need a food bank?
No, definitely not. I don't know that people actually know enough about an unpaid carer, their role, and how many there are people are doing this role, but. I don't think people would really necessarily think that it's carers going to a food bank. I'm not sure, you know, whether the people have a stereotypical image of somebody going there. Maybe they think it's young families, single parents, but it isn't. It's professionals. It's, you know, people that have suddenly had to lose their role because they've become a carer. You know, you could have been a lawyer. You could have been any role, you know, teacher, but to then suddenly stop and care for a loved one, that changes everything. that changes whether you're able to pay your mortgage. So you might need to reach out to that food bank, as I have myself as a professional. You know, you then find yourself having to go there. But my mindset is very different now. I'm so grateful that these services are there. Carers First, Food Bank, Trussell, you know, they're amazing support networks for people that are really struggling.
And how has the support from Medway Food Bank been for you?
Invaluable. So when I have reached out and received a voucher, I go along to whichever local food bank. They've been so friendly, welcoming, non-judgmental, and just so helpful, packaging up all the bits, asking you everything that you want. So that little lifeline is fantastic. So if, and I've been to various ones, I haven't just been to one set food bank in Medway, so it's consistent. It's your welcome, would you like a cup of tea? It's fantastic. It doesn't make you feel like you're going there if, you know, in shame. You should hopefully come away feeling quite relieved, I would hope. And I think the other point I was talking about with Joe at Carers First yesterday is that I've actually been a donator to the food banks previously, and very keen, especially through Lent, you know, trying to make a difference and donations. And I think I even did collections at schools and universities and everything. But now I'm the recipient. So I'm conscious of, you know, of reflecting on the fact that I'm now the person that has received the food at a food bank and access the support. So for everybody that's donating the food, you know, whether that's individuals or companies, you know, I'm truly grateful. It's a massive help.
So if you could change like just one thing about the financial support available to unpaid carers, what would it be for you?
I think it would be to have more support available for those that are, you know, the unpaid carers. Whether that's locally or nationally, something that they can get access to support. I don't know that that would restrict them then going to a food bank. That would be a wonderful thing. But it would be things that might help them, as opposed to, you know, if they're unable to be in receipt of the benefit as a carer. It might be good if there was other local support available that they could access, i.e. as I have with the Carers First network and the local authority, there's been some emergency funds to tap into, things like that.
And finally, what advice would you give to another carer who is simply struggling financially?
I think more than anything is reach out for support, talk to somebody. Carers First is a great support network in our local area. I'd like to think they are in existence for carers all over the country. So go and talk to them, even if it's just reaching out to say, you know, hi, I'm a carer, I'm an unpaid carer, you know, I look after, you know, so and so and so and so. This is my situation, this is my story. Because as I found out, somebody said, oh, did you know that there's an emergency fund? Did you know that there's a household support fund? I didn't, and I thought, you know, I'm pretty resourceful and knowledgeable of my local area, but I didn't know about those things. So I think just being open and certainly not embarrassed. There should never be any embarrassment around being a carer. I'm proud of the fact I look after the people I do, and because I know that I do a good job and I help those people. So, you know, try to reach out and talk to people and access any support that you might not know is there.
Well, thank you for joining me today.
You're welcome, Kieran.
So that was Lana, who cares for her best friend, Bob. And I think the most powerful thing that I took out from that is that, yes, she used to be someone who used to donate to food banks. And now she is using them. And I think that was a really powerful thing.